You're listening to episode number 26 of the Secondary Science Simplified podcast. Hey there! This month, I am humbly admitting to you all of the really bad work habits I unconsciously established during my first few years in the classroom, and what time, my mistakes, and the wisdom of my coworkers taught me about how to correct these habits over the years. Last week in episode 25, I shared about my shift from being reactive to being proactive in the classroom. Today, I'm going to tell you five decisions I chose to make in order to reclaim work-life balance once I fell into the bad habit of not only working majorly overtime, but also never truly unplugging mentally or emotionally from work. But making these five decisions made all of the difference in allowing me to actually start to leave work at work. And best of all, I became a better teacher because of it. Ready to hear more? Let's get started. This is Secondary Science Simplified, a podcast for secondary science teachers who want to engage their students and simplify their lives. I'm Rebecca Joyner from It's Not Rocket Science. As a high school science teacher turned curriculum writer, I'm passionate about helping other science teachers love their jobs, serve their students, and do it all in only 40 hours a week. Are you ready to rock the time you spend in your classroom and actually have a life outside of it? You're in the right place, teacher friend. Let's get to today's episode. Welcome back to another episode of the Secondary Science Simplified podcast. This month, I'm opening up and getting really honest about some of the major mistakes I made and the bad habits I formed during my first few years teaching. I want to share these with you so that you can learn from my mistakes and hopefully avoid falling into the same bad habits that I did. Or if you have already experienced these habits in your own teacher life, you can hear from my experiences about how I worked to kind of overcome those and recreate new habits that were much healthier. Last week in episode 25, I shared the importance of proactivity and how much of a difference being proactive made, particularly in my communication with parents. I had formed a bad habit of basically ignoring / avoiding parents as much as I possibly could, and it led me to constantly feeling like I was having to be reactive all of the time, putting out fires left and right every single day. And because of that, every interaction I had with parents, and then often with students, felt really charged with emotion, making it really hard to separate myself from work and not take things so personally that were happening at work. And so that leads me to the topic for today's episode, which is leaving work at work. Arguably, the worst bad habit I fell into my first few years teaching was working way more than 40 hours a week and having really poor work-life boundaries with my time, but also with like my mental capacity and my energy. If I could go back in time and tell myself one thing, it would be, you work so that you can live. You don't live so that you can work. I think it is so easy for us as teachers to fall into these unhealthy work habits. And I think there's kind of three reasons this happens. One, I think it's because teachers, we really care deeply about our students as people. And thus, our work has a face to it. Or really, you know, it has 100+ faces to it, or however many students you have this year. And that just makes our work extremely personal and a lot harder to detach from emotionally, I feel like. I also feel like teachers are naturally altruistic by nature. I mean, we clearly are not in this profession for the money or the snazzy benefits or the end of year bonuses, because those only come in the form of Starbucks gift cards. So most of us are in it because we love students, or we love our content, or we love students and we love our content. And so I think this can lead us to distorting the reality of our situation and when starting to see work as teachers as also our mission or our ministry or our service to the world. So work becomes this bigger thing. It's not just a job. It's also what we're doing to change the world. And it doesn't help that society is consistently reinforcing this in us, which I feel like leads to my third main contributor to why I think so many of us fall into the creation of these unhealthy work habits as teachers. It's because society has basically demanded it of us and then consistently reinforced it in us. I don't need to tell you twice that teachers are underappreciated and undervalued. We are put in extremely difficult situations with very little resources and support and minimal compensation because of all of that. I mean, seriously, what other career requires a master's degree in many states or some other form of continuing education that basically ends up equaling a graduate degree? And then you only get a $5,000 pay raise for doing it one time. That pay raise I got for getting my master's didn't even cover the investment it took to get my master's in the first place. But I digress. I could go on and on, but I know I don't need to convince you of this. I don't need to convince you that our work habits are unhealthy in a lot of ways. What I do want to spend this episode doing is starting the hard process of rewiring your brain to actually believe that you can do this job and do it well and still leave your work at work. Again, I am not just here to try to make you feel down that you may have gotten into this position of working really unhealthy habits and not having great boundaries, because I have been in the exact same spot. I cannot emphasize enough how desperately I needed to create a healthy teacher habit of leaving work at work for myself. A few years in, I realized I was consistently working at least 60 hours a week. I was always bringing a stack of projects or lab reports home to grade at night, and I never felt like I could really unplug mentally from my teacher life. And it took a major toll on me personally, not even just in the excess time I was spending on work, but in the mental and the emotional way I was being drained by the job and unable to really disconnect from it. I essentially had no boundaries at all between work life and home life. And so I had to draw a line in the sand. And to do that, I had to make some really practical decisions. So I'm going to share five of those decisions with you today. First, I decided upon specific work hours in addition to my school day time and what days I would go in early each week versus what days I would stay late. So I decided if my school hours when I was teaching were from 8 to 3, I decided I would get into the classroom every day at 7:15 and I would stay until 3:30 no matter what. And then I had certain days I decided that I would stay a little longer, maybe till 4 or 4:30, and I set those times and those became my work hours and I was only going to do work during those set hours and never bring it home. I even made a little work schedule for myself and I had it taped to my desk so I could reference it. Okay, is this a day that I'm staying late to catch up on grading or not? The second decision I made is I deleted work email and the learning management system like app that we had on our phones for work. I deleted both of those things from my phone and I stopped opening my work laptop when I was not at work. For me, and I think for so many of us, we need this mental disconnect. Something I've learned over the years is that anxiety demands action or it begs for action. So when you're feeling anxious, kind of one of the things that can help cure that anxiety is doing something about it. And I found personally that if I would even see a notification or a message come through either in the corner of my laptop or on my phone when I was just, you know, on it casually in my free time. And it could be late at night or it could be when I was at a lacrosse game because my husband was a coach and I was trying to watch the game and I knew I couldn't respond and handle the situation in that moment. It would make me feel incredibly anxious not being able to resolve or remedy or respond to the situation. But if I didn't have my work email on my phone or I didn't have the LMS app on my phone or if I didn't open my work laptop, I couldn't see it. And so the anxiety wouldn't be stirred up in me because ignorance truly was bliss. I wasn't seeing these things that could kind of rile my mental energy up and start getting me to think about that as opposed to disconnecting from work. The third decision I made was another like mental and emotional disconnect decision that I made. And that was I started when I was at work to only check my email or my LMS messages once a day, and that was it. I had to stop letting other people's emergencies become my emergencies. I found that as I was checking into my email before school or maybe between classes or while students were working on a lab or during lunch or after school, I mean, it was like 5 or 6 times a day that I was checking into this inbox. And I am a person that likes to keep my inbox at zero. So I'm checking in, I'm seeing something, and then I'm engaging with it right away. But I found that these little pockets of time really added up. So it was taking up a lot more time than I realized, but more so it was the mental and emotional energy drain that it was taking. It was taking so much of my energy because sometimes I would see something come through, a panicked email from a parent, for instance, or from a student who I was going to see 3 periods later who decided to email me and let me know how stressed they were because they forgot their project or what can they do, whatever. And I didn't have the emotional or mental energy to handle it right then. And their sense of urgency infiltrated mine and I started to feel stressed for them. I was absorbing their stress. And like I said, their emergencies, the things that felt like emergencies to them then became mine. And one day my husband looked at me once and he said, "Rebecca, if it was really an emergency, they would call 911 and not email you. Like only a true emergency is one that results in calling 911, not emailing you because they forgot a project and they want you to troubleshoot this or they didn't know about this deadline and they're freaking out about it or whatever it may be." So that was huge. I started checking my email when I got to work in the morning, resolving any issues. And then if I couldn't kind of get through it all in the morning, I would check back and finish up one more time, either during lunch or after school. But my goal was really once a day. And I've talked about this before in the podcast, but people's expectations of me adjusted because of that. Because I stopped being so available all the time, they stopped expecting me to be available all of the time. And I even would say, like, if I got back to them at the end of the day and they'd emailed me that morning, I would say, "Hi, thanks for your patience. I've been teaching the last 8 hours. You know, I've been in the classroom teaching. I just had time to respond to your email." And then I would answer their question. Or, you know, if I would come in the morning and they'd email me at 11 p.m., I would respond and say, "Hi, good morning. Sorry I missed you." You don't even have to apologize. You shouldn't have to apologize. But if you feel like you need to, you could say, "Sorry I missed you. I don't check work email outside of work hours. Happy to answer your question now," whatever. And you can start slowly training people in that way. So that was another huge decision I made. Okay, so first again, I decided on specific work hours and decided I was not going to work outside of those hours, which led to decision number 2, deleting that work email, deleting the learning management system app that we had for our phones, all of that coming off my phone. So there was no work things popping up on my phone. And then also not opening my work laptop at all when I wasn't at work. And then the third thing I did was when I was at work, I'm only engaging with inboxes once a day, maybe twice if I don't get through it all at that one time. And that was it. The fourth decision I made was I stopped assigning homework and I stopped collecting most of what I was used to collecting so that I could get the amount that I was grading down to a reasonable amount that I could actually manage doing during my work hours. Because again, I decided I'm only working during my work hours. So in order to not have all this stuff I have to constantly be taking home, I can't collect all of this. And so I really reevaluated my grading methods and my grading strategies. And you can hear more about how I did that specifically with grading in episode 10. But it really made such a difference. And it allowed me to then, I could have had a 24-hour turnaround period. Like anything I collected, I was able to get it back to students graded and with good feedback within 24 hours because I was collecting so much less. And my students really appreciated this. The other thing they loved is they loved that I stopped assigning homework. For me, I stopped assigning it because it was one easy thing I could stop grading essentially. And then another reason why I really stopped assigning it was I just felt like it had lost so much of its integrity and so much of its purpose. You know, homework, we're really just expecting the honor system here and that students are doing it to try. And of course, we want them to be intrinsically motivated in that way. But I was just so sick, y'all, of walking through the hallways before school and seeing students like copying homework from each other, whether it was for my class or someone else's, and not really doing it for the purpose of doing it. And so I was like, you know what? I'm done with this. Like we're just not going to do homework because it's not going to be done in a way that I feel like it's even beneficial in the first place. And it will majorly eliminate something that is on my plate to grade. And it was awesome because students really saw, they started to see it as like, oh, Ms. Joyner respects my time outside of school and is not giving me something to do outside of school. And thus, I will respect her time inside of school. And that was something I constantly reminded them of. Like, give me this 50 minutes I have you, and I won't take another minute of your day outside of this class period. And it really created a huge shift in the culture of my classroom when I started doing that. And I know there are certain classes where, you know, you can't really avoid it. Maybe it's like an AP class where there's just so much you have to get through in such a short amount of time. But in general, that was something I cut out. And it was such a game changer for me and my students. And then the fifth decision I made was I daily reminded myself what my values were, meaning what my priorities were both in and out of the classroom. Like, what are my goals with my students and just in my life? And then I did my best to hold everything else that was not in my main values, that was not a priority. I tried to hold everything else with something I call open hands. So I have this visual of my life before all of this, just me like death gripping every single thing that I felt like I had to control or manage. And I got to this place where I was like, this is so unhealthy. And so I decided on what my priorities would be. And then everything else, I have open hands with it. Like, if it falls out of my hands, it is what it is. Like, I'm just going to have to offer so much grace around these other things. And making these five decisions truly changed my life. And I call them decisions because I think we can list, you know, 100 different reasons why we can't do XYZ, you know, why we can't work 40 hours, why we can't delete our work email, why we have to check email multiple times a day, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, all of those reasons are excuses. And I'm not trying to be harsh, but I am trying to be honest. Achieving work-life balance can only begin when we actually start recognizing our work as teachers as a job and not as our life. And we are fully ready to make the tough decisions we need to make to truly be able to leave work at work by setting these boundaries, both with our time and then also with our mental and emotional boundaries we set too. But you guys, it is so worth it. Leaving work at work truly changed my entire disposition as a human and thus the entire culture of my family and of my classroom. I can say with complete confidence that I became better at my job when I started actually treating it like a job and not letting it become my entire life. Having boundaries was the best thing I ever did for me, my family, and my students, because then when I was at school, my students were really getting the best version of me instead of just getting this really exhausted, overworked version of me. And I do have some proof to back this up. The year I really felt like I achieved this work-life balance I'm speaking to you of, and I got to the place where I felt like I was consistently leaving work at work every day, every week, it was also the year that I had 5 preps, including AP Biology, and the year that I ended up winning Teacher of the Year at my school. So it was really such an honor to see that my admin, my coworkers, students, and their parents saw the difference it made in me as a teacher to actually prioritize myself as a human and create that work-life separation. And I really believe it can do the same for you too. This was one of the foundational motivations for why I decided to write my Secondary Science Simplified virtual professional development course last summer. Because I want every secondary science teacher to experience the freedom that comes from simplifying your work life and setting boundaries so that you can reclaim your home life. Now, this course covers a ton of practical things. I like to think of it as all of the really hands-on, specific, practical training that I wish I had had in my teacher certification program. We cover classroom management, lesson planning, looking at your whole scope and sequence for the year, but then also breaking down a unit day by day. We talk about prepping for labs and assessment strategies, but we do all of this under the overall purpose, under the umbrella of the number one overarching goal, which is setting you up to have work-life balance so that you can see this as a job and leave work at work and actually have a life outside of your classroom. So if you are interested in learning more, you don't have to wait long, which is what's so exciting. The course is opening for enrollment again this summer on June 14th. In the meantime, if you're listening to this prior to that, I'm offering a free 1 hour mini professional development to give you a taste for kind of like my teaching style and the kind of training that will be included in the Secondary Science Simplified virtual PD course. So this free 1 hour mini PD is called 3 Secrets to Stress-Free Lab Days, and it's open for registration now. I'm offering it 3 different days at 3 different times of day just to try to fit it into as many schedules and time zones as possible. So everyone who attends, you will get a 1 hour professional development certificate that you could use for recertification hours wherever you live. And then arguably, you're going to get my favorite Google Sheet I've ever made. And I use this Google Sheet to prepare and stay organized on lab days. And so if you're interested, you can register at stressfreelabday.com. So just head to that website and you can sign up there. And again, this is a 1 hour mini training that's like one lesson out of the Secondary Science Simplified course, just to give you a small taste of kind of what is offered in the larger PD course and to give you a taste of my teaching style. And I'll give you also a bigger or a better or a closer look into the SSS course as well. Again, thank you so much as always for listening to today's episode. More than any episode ever, I sincerely hope it encourages you that you can, in fact, leave work at work and still do this job really well. As always, you can find any of the links mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/episode26. And don't forget, the Secondary Science Simplified Virtual Professional Development course is opening for enrollment next week. You can get a sample of what it's all about by attending the 3 Secrets to Stress-Free Lab Days free 1 hour for professional development by registering at stressfreelabday.com. Or if you just want to go ahead and see what's going on with the Secondary Science Simplified course, you can head to secondarysciencesimplified.com and join the waitlist until the 14th when the doors for enrollment into the course officially open. All right, teacher friends, that wraps up today's episode. If you're looking for an easy way to start simplifying your life as a secondary science teacher, head to itsnotrocketscienceclassroom.com/challenge to grab your classroom reset challenge. And guess what? It's totally free. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you here next week. Until then, I'll be rooting for you, teacher friend.